This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tyler put something in the rundown as I'm going through his very color-coded, multiple font Google Doc that he's constructed for Ron Hughley in the drive.
That's my ADD brain on full display right there for you fellas.
I saw from Sugarland, Spectators Bar and Grill, Premier Sports Bar, and Crawfish Circuit continues.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, let's go.
Mud bugs, baby.
I was like, I got to drive out to Sugarland, but if it's driving out to Sugarland for crawfish and doing a show, I'm all about it. But that is not us today. We are in the studio. It is going to be you tomorrow, correct, Luke?
Yeah, I get to reap the benefits.
You're going
to
be in with Ron Hughley?
That's the plan.
All right, cool. So enjoy. Are you a crawfish guy?
We'll find out more so tomorrow, I guess.
Have you not had?
No, I have.
Okay.
I think only once, though. So,
just don't be that guy wearing the gloves, man. Don't be the guy wearing the rubber or the latex gloves as you're peeling your crawfish.
You've seen that before.
Oh, yeah, and I judge the hell out of you.
I have not ever seen that before in my life. The only people that I've ever seen wear rubber gloves outside of a doctor's office is the freaks during COVID. Like, he wore the rubber gloves and the masks everywhere. Oh, my God. I went to BB's up by our house the other day. It was, the Cougs beat Duke on Saturday night. I went and celebrated Sunday afternoon after church. And everybody at BB's was wearing rubber gloves eating crawfish.
Dude, wow.
Stop I'm like, that. What in the hell is wrong with you people?
If you are a grown-ass adult, you better not be doing that, because you have no idea how embarrassed you actually should be. It's a damn shame.
I don't like to get my hands dirty.
Well, then crawfish, sir, is not for you.
I know. I don't like to work for my food. So.
You're like Patrick. Patrick, you know, he likes crawfish, as he claims, but he likes it done for him already.
Right.
Like, as in, it needs to be in an etouffee, or it needs to be in a gumbo, or, you know, something like that. And the way that I understand it is he will eat it, but somebody needs to peel it for him. And I say, are you my wife?
Kidding me?
Like, what's happening here?
Same.
PC.
I love lobster rolls, but I don't want a lobster where I got to crack it and pull the meat out, all that stuff.
Oh, you divas.
Yeah, that's right. Give me the food prepared.
You divas.
That's why I go boneless wings with a fork instead of having to deal with the hold in them.
Luke and bougie-ass PC.
Disappointment, man.
I need it peeled for me. I need it prepared.
Can you peel my seafood
Hey,
for
we're
me?
Gonna break you of this tomorrow. Somebody's going to break you of this tomorrow.
Bring the gloves for me.
God, no, don't do it.
Don't do it, man.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
You know what? I'll make the compromise with you. Put the damn gloves on, but just peel your own crawfish. Okay?
Alright.
Peel your own crawfish. Have fun. Go out and see Luke Morrow and Ron Hughley and everybody tomorrow. They'll be in Sugarland at Spectators Bar and Grill. For the 610 Crawfish Circuit as it continues. So looking forward to that. Hope you guys have a great time. Go join them. If the weather's going to be like it has been the last few days tomorrow, then, man, what are you doing? It's a Friday. go eat some crawfish without gloves, live a little, YOLO. Yeah. Don't be all bad and bougie like Luke is planning on being. And I would imagine, you know, Ron strikes me as a rubber glove guy, too, by the way. I'm just saying.
Ooh.
He does not strike me as a guy that is going to get his hands dirty.
You know, you say that. I want to say the first time we were introducing Ron to crawfish, when he had first got to Houston, I think he was exploring the idea of bringing some gloves. And I had to kind of pull him aside and say, Ron, listen now. We don't do that.
Yeah.
The drive isn't going to be about that.
It's frowned upon. It's one of those things you will get made fun of in public if you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Hit us up, man. 713-572-4610. 572-4610. I open the phone lines, Tyler, so the people can call. Or you can text the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. We like to hear from you if you want to talk a little crap during the show, add something to the show. That's how I roll. Love to hear from you. Call or text. I've got Twitch and YouTube pulled up. Well, I lie. I don't have Twitch. Luke has Twitch. I got the YouTuber pulled up and the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line if you want to be a part of the show that way. We can definitely do that. Now, who brought up the Masters in the crosstalk segment? It was either you or Reggie.
Reggie, yeah.
But I heard you guys discussing this yesterday between you and Ron, like the Masters. I think Ron asked some sort of a question like what it takes for you to be like really invested or something to that effect, right?
Yeah, what would get you to the TV, say, on Sunday for the Masters?
To me, the only person that would ask that question is a person that needs something to, you know, be interested in. Like, yeah, you know who Scottie Scheffler is. You know he's been the world number one, but for how long? Well, I'll tell you, 98 weeks. It's been a while now, going on nearly 3 years. So For a lot of people that are like average, mediocre to even non-golf fans, like, you know, maybe the significant other of a big golf fan, wife, husband, whatever, it's got to be the underdog. There's only one right answer. There has to be an underdog in the race or everybody's favorite. Tiger Woods has to be in contention. Or I'll even put a third one in there. A has-been that is in contention. Like, if there is a Fred Couples type.
Ernie Els.
Like, somebody that you least expect, you know, to be in contention. And I've been hoping for years it would have been a guy like Fred Couples. Because he's badass. Usually at the Masters in the first day or two. But then kind of flames out the last, you know, like on Friday. Mm-hmm. Maybe misses the cut. Or makes the cut and then just has a womp womp Saturday kind of a thing, and he's not really in contention.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mickelson with the PGA Championship in 2021 when he won that, and a lot of people got into it.
But yeah, well, and it's weird because there were a lot of people in it, but I think there were also probably a lot of people like hate watching Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. At that point, yeah,
you know, like you're watching, hoping for him to fail,
right?
And I don't know why. I can't even describe my dislike for Phil Mickelson.
Oh, dislike.
Maybe it's the Tiger Phil rivalry kind of a thing. I don't know. I was obviously very much more of a Tiger guy, but Phil, he has one of those punchable faces, I guess.
I think so. And I am a Phil guy, not as much in recent years as I was previously, but I can see that still.
That surprises me, Bajani. I love Phil.
Well,
love old Hefty.
It's funny because in recent years, I've taken a little more liking to him because I like some of the stuff that he does on social. He's actually a funny son of a gun. You know, the videos that he takes, he's a wisecracker. So like in that regard, yeah, he's become a little bit more likable to me. I just don't know if I really want to see him succeed so much on the golf course.
I just think he's very relatable. I think that was always the appeal. A guy that liked to gamble, maybe even get into financial trouble because of it. A guy who struggled, we can all relate with that.
He's like golf's Charles Barkley.
Yeah, like, right. He sort of is.
Gambles and loses his ass.
Yeah.
Oh,
got a good
goodness.
Personality. Has shown that personality more so in the last, say, 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think he's become relatable. I think that's the appeal for him, or was before some of the more drama in recent years where he's put his foot in his mouth at times. But for me, getting back to that question, because I am like an average golf fan, I think for me it's either Scheffler trying to go back-to-back, which we haven't seen in almost 25 years, or Rory trying to get it done on Sunday. I think those are the two things that would get me really locked in. I'm going to check it out anyways. Or like you said, yeah, some sort of underdog, even like a newcomer who they always struggle at the Masters. But if there's somebody that's trying to win, like in their first event or whatever it is, a guy that hasn't won a major before,
yeah,
that'll get me going too.
But I like the amateurs that have a really good first round or mm-hmm. second round, and you want to see them do it. You know, the amateur, if they win the Masters,
they
don't win a damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get the pat on the back, you get the trophy, you get the shake of the hand, but I don't know that they can win money if you win the Masters. That's what I've always heard, at least. And I think that's to be true.
Yeah, it removes the that amateur status.
Yeah. Hiroshi Tai is tied for 10th in a long list Ooh. Of people tied for 10th. He is the amateur, the lone amateur near the top of the leaderboard. Our guy, Scottie Scheffler, who's trying to repeat, as you mentioned, having a really good first round through 16. He's 4 under and in a tie for second place, along with Tyrell Hatton and Corey Connors. They're all 4 under par. The leader, how about this? And it's early for him, just through 10 and 6 under for the day, is Justin Rose. That's pretty impressive right there.
That is a name I have not heard in quite some time.
Right, right. Justin Rose having a really good day. Some other familiar names maybe that you would know. Jason Day, he's in a tie for 5th, 2 under through 16. Bryson DeChambeau, tied for 5th. He's also 2 under, very early for him. I would not be shocked at all if that guy's at the top of the leaderboard. He's only through 6 holes today and already at 2 under. So
I got some money on Bryson.
You have money on him to win it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Threw a little.
Cameron Smith up there. He's 1 under and done for the day. Also done for the day, my guy Fred Couples finished. He's 1 under.
Okay.
He's one of those guys that's in a tie for 10th. Yeah, he's there. I really look forward to watching him. Colin Morikawa's in 10th, Brian Harman in 10th, Cameron Smith in 10th. We'll keep you up to date on the Masters leaderboard if you are interested, and I know many of you are. It's one of those events, like I was telling Lopez, you know, whether it be one of the Triple Crown races, one of the car races, NASCAR, IndyCar, whatever the case may be, not something that you ever even have on throughout the course of a year as background noise on your television screen, but you know it's a big event and you just want to see what happens. You want to be involved in it. And when you live in a city like Houston that has experienced like fantastic weather the last few days, that in and of itself in the month of April signals Masters. Like, it looks outside like it does at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, and it just, you're in the vibe, you're in the feel of it, and that's the way it is for me. And I want to go play golf. I played golf yesterday. It was fun and I enjoyed it, and I was terrible, but
jealous.
I enjoyed it.
I think that's interesting. I think that's the adult version. Like, my buddies and I, and I'm sure I'm not unique in this, we used to play our pickup football games every Sunday because you'd be watching the NFL and you'd be like, man, I want to go play football. And we go outside after the games and you go play. In the winter, my brothers and I loved watching basketball. My dad had to put a hoop in the garage because where I grew up it was cold, and we would go out and play because we're watching the NBA thing. Like, man, I want to do that. And then that's the one thing as an adult where you don't go out and play football anymore, you don't go even play pickup basketball often, but this is the one event that you watch the Masters and like, man, I want to go out there and do that.
It's somebody on the text line 713-572-4610 said, caught me off guard, said, why'd you call Phil a cracker? Not nice. I had to think for a second. It's like, oh yeah, I called him a wisecracker.
That's what the whites used to do.
I was like, hold on, wait a second. Oh,
it's
all
right. It's a cracker on cracker, so you're good.
Yeah, I guess I did that. Kind of. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of like a coconut.
What? Tough to crack?
Brown on the outside and white on the inside.
I was not ready for that one. Bajani is kind of like a coconut.
Kind of like a coconut, yeah. I don't know. There's probably a better analogy out there somewhere, but that's the best I can
come up with. Ogres are like onions. Bajani's like a coconut.
Oh, my goodness. T-Mail, do you need to get things officially kicked off today by doing something? You usually show the good people some nippies.
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. It's officially a Thursday.
For your viewing pleasure.
If you are not thirsty, you should be by now after seeing that on YouTube and Twitch.
Fraud, the show does say the drive does not officially get started until I show my nips.
Yeah.
So we're off and running, baby.
Off and running officially. There you go. You feeling the positive vibes today after yesterday's? Let's see. The Astros had not started yesterday by the time you guys had come on air. Did you guys get a chance to...
The Grand Slam happened as we were signing off.
Oh, yeah. God. What a horrible thing.
It was a nut punch.
Horrible timing.
Punch right to the nuts.
Randy Arozarena is one of those guys that would deliver such a cheap shot, a grand slam as you guys are going off. Absolute kick in the nuts. Like he Dylan Brooks'd you guys. You know, the Dylan Brooks who tried to kick that fella in the nuts the other day really missed and kicked him in the gut. So shout out to him.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
It was a great sell job by that guy who fell to the floor like LeBron James had gotten sniped from the
you ain't
levels.
Ever lied.
Yeah. LeBron blames. The Astros' dumb 7-6 loss. Is that still stuck in y'all's craw a little bit, or have you gotten over it?
It's a brutal loss. I mean, especially when you consider it's the Mariners. They're up 5-0 with four outs to go. And maybe I should take some responsibility. I sort of jinxed it on air yesterday, although Ron was saying
similar things.
Yeah, we were both saying, like, oh, there's no way the Mariners can score six runs and win once you get that fifth run.
Oh, yeah, Wynton did that.
Well, Ron did that. I said something similar. I don't remember what I said exactly. But,
well, this is not good.
Yeah, so maybe we're responsible. But the thought being, not only you lose a game like that, but you do it to the Mariners in their ballpark where that team can't score, and they erupted in the last... not even two innings. There was already a couple of outs in that eighth inning, and Arozarena hits the grand slam, and then the way the ninth goes, Paredes tries to get the tag at third. That kind of screwed things up. You had a missed strike three call from the umpire. That didn't help, and that's a brutal loss.
I'm not joking at all. I'm a very, I won't say very, but I'm superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the whole jinx thing because on Area 45, I do it all the freaking time.
Recall, yeah.
With my words, with my thoughts, because we do the H-Town post-game show.
Mm-hmm.
And PC likes to do and likes to say, happy recap. And if I even have that thought, and now PC's even on it because he needles me. He's not a very superstitious guy. He will say, happy recap coming up, you know, kind of a thing like that. And I'm like, you screwed it up. Well, so you are a self-proclaimed jinx yesterday.
Yeah.
I think Tyler is to blame as well. I think Chris Santiago, our producer on Area 45, is just as culpable. And I even had the thought, like, boy, it's going to be a badass Wednesday show. We get to start with the H-Town post-game show, a happy recap. A lot of really good things had happened in the game yesterday for the Astros. They had four guys with a multi-hit performance. Cam Smith had another really good day. Hunter Brown was fantastic. Jeremy Pena come up big. I'm probably forgetting, a couple of other things. But, you know, it was going to be a series win. There's something good and a successful road trip. You could have gone 4-2 instead of 3-3. And I thought immediately, like, what a crappy week this has been. I blame John McClain for getting it kickstarted. Because on Twitter, the night before the Cougs played Florida in the title game, John said, boy, I hope Lorenzo Charles isn't wandering around somewhere tomorrow night.
Well, sorry.
I confronted John about that last night. He was on Area 45, and I in not so many words, I told him he was an ass for doing that. And because the only legitimate comparison that you could make to the Cougs losing the way that they did to Florida is 1983, Lorenzo Charles and NC State and that whole thing. It's been a bad week.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah. Hey, you were there.
Yeah.
You
Monday
were
night
there.
At
now,
the national championship, yeah.
Are you Florida alum?
No.
You're a college basketball fan?
Yeah, I just figured it's down the road. How often do you get to go to a national championship game and then Houston's in it, so represent, you know, go represent the city, so... yeah, just took the opportunity to go to the game.
So maybe you're a jinx like Tyler.
That's true.
Like maybe
like who?
Like you.
How about jinx?
Because every live sporting event that is, relative to the city of Houston, like important to the city of Houston, you go to, they lose.
That's not even true. It's just the away games for these damn Texans, brother.
You're like
that
Ted
is
Cruz.
All it is.
You're like Ted Cruz.
No, get the hell out of here.
Ted Cruz was there, by the way, the other day. Yeah. So it didn't help. You were there. Ted Cruz was there. Tyler was watching.
Me. BS. It is strictly the away games that I go to watch these damn Texans. And I own it. There is some sort of curse or jinx or something right now with that. But, my friend, that is not true.
Add it to the list, all you conspiracy theorists out there. Things that we cannot allow happen in the city of Houston for Tyler, Luke, or Ted Cruz to attend or even watch or talk about or think about. Rat bastards. All right, coming up next, we'll stick with a little Astro convo. I thought of this earlier today. You guys tell me what you think. We can discuss. There's four things that I saw and have seen in the early portion of this Astros season that I think could be a sign of things to come. In fact, a positive sign, since some of you think we are far too negative in discussing the Astros 12 games into a season. Which of them are the most sustainable? We'll discuss next at The Drive, Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, and for both Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley today, I'm Sean Bajani, and he is Luke Morrow. Your boy Tyler Milner still here. We, of course, are taking you up until 6. You got Texans All Access later, then Area 45. Still doing its thing tonight with PC and Chris Partee in from 7 until 11. So looking forward to that. Good full sports day for you right here on Sports Radio 610. No Astros today. They are off. Thank God, man. You need a day after that disaster yesterday. 5-0 into the 8th inning, and then the A-bomb went off. Like, literally, Randy Arozarena. That dude is a pain in the ass. One night, he can just be terrible, and the other night, such as baseball, sports, hashtag sports, he can, you know, rip your guts out like he did yesterday.
And he enjoyed that trot around the bases, too.
Yeah, well, you remember the night before, I can't say, like, he directly cost the Mariners, but it didn't help the situation. That triple that Cam Smith hit down the left field line, Arozarena was waiting for it to carom off of the wall, and it didn't. It died right there at the base of the wall, and it was almost like he was kind of like Juwan Roberts in every other Houston Cougar the other night after Emmanuel Sharp went up and then promptly came down without basketball in his hand, and it bounced once and twice and three times, and everybody just like froze and was like, what are we doing? That was him. And it allowed Cam Smith to get to third just in front of the tag. It allowed Yiner Diaz to easily score. I think it was Yiner that scored on that. And look, that was a huge play for the Astros. What was it, like in the eighth or ninth inning, I think it was. And then he comes back the very next day, grand slam, and then the walk-off walk. There you go. All of that negativity aside, though, Luke, I feel like it was almost a microcosm because I saw a lot of this same stuff in the series. But I've got four observations, four things from the Astros that I think are a positive sign of things to come this year for the Astros and maybe beyond. And I want to know if you guys agree or disagree. 713-572-4610. You can call or text the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. I'll just start with this since I mentioned him, Cam Smith. I'm encouraged by Cam Smith. I think he's heating up. I think he's shown some resolve. I think he's shown some maturity, and that same energy and excitement that we quickly, I think many of us fell in love with Cam Smith for in spring training was the energy and excitement and the passion that he plays baseball with, like in a meaningless March 24th, 26th game, whatever it was, at Daikin Park, where he hits that RBI triple. I think it was a 2-run triple in the first thing, his first at bat at Daikin Park, and he slides into third base and he jumps up and, you know, kind of pounds his chest. And you could freeze frame that and say, caption it, 2025 Game 7 World Series. But no, it was a meaningless exhibition game in 2025 for the Astros. That's awesome. That's the guy that I've seen even through the 2-for-18 slump that he started the season with. Now, you know, in his last 5-6 games, he started to pick it up a little bit and be productive out of that spot. Your thoughts? Like, that is one of the things that has encouraged me. Is that sustainable this season for Cam Smith in your mind?
For sure. I think he's only going to get better. You certainly hope he's only going to get better as the year goes on. I mean, the guy's had 25 big league at-bats. It's too soon to even pass judgment on him yet or to criticize. Or I know people are already frustrated. He's had 25 at-bats in his career. And you could go through the long history of baseball, find guys who, like Willie Mays, started 1-for-25, I believe. You know, there's plenty of examples of guys getting off to slow starts. Dustin Pedroia hit like 160 his rookie year and then turned himself into a near Hall of Famer. So you got to give a guy some time to progress at the big league level. And the last 2 days have looked really good. Just one strikeout in the 7 at-bats, where before that he was striking out about half of his at-bats. He was looking a little overmatched. Had the 2 hits yesterday, drove in a run in each of the last 2 games. I think for me, the next step in the progression, though, is seeing some of that power at the big league level. He has yet to, according to the analytics, has yet to barrel up a baseball. He's only pulled, you know, at less than 10% of pitches.
Yeah, it's been a lot of opposite field stuff.
Opposite field, 2/3 of the stuff on the ground. So opposite field on the ground, you know, that sneak through, whatever it might be. So I just want, I think that's the next step that I want to see, is show some of that power just occasionally. Because we know he has that natural raw ability. But is this sustainable? Yeah, absolutely. He should be a lot better as the year goes on. And by the end of the season, very well could put together some good numbers this year. But I think the last 2 days were promising signs of that progression for a young guy figuring it out.
Astros general manager Dana Brown was on MLB Network yesterday and was asked about Cam Smith and if they believe in him to deliver in the early going.
Yeah, I mean, within having Cam Smith for these 6 years that we're going to have him, we think this has got a chance to be really big. He's got huge upside. I was very fortunate to see him in the draft last year when I was out seeing players that we may consider in the first round. I really like the upside, the talent, the makeup's pretty special. He's taken to right field very well. You know, he made a nice play coming in yesterday on the ball. He's been out there really grinding through it. And, you know, look, we feel like this guy at some point in his career will really take off, and getting those years to control. Also adding Wesneski, who had a great start the other day. He's up to 97. And, you know, we know, you know, what Paredes is going to be. You know, he should hit his 25 home runs, you know, and have a good, pretty good OPS. He's been playing very well at third base. And so, look, to get this kind of control for, you know, 1 year of control with Tucker, not knowing if you were going to sign him, we think it's going to end up being a good deal for both sides. I really feel that way.
Since Dana Brown mentioned Hayden Wesneski, that is another guy on my list of the 4 things that I am encouraged by and that I think could be sustainable for the Astros. Even as Dana Brown said with Cam Smith, you know, they got control of him for the next 6 years. You're going to have Hayden Wesneski for a little bit as well. He's off to 2 really good starts in his Astro career, combined for 12 innings of work, just giving up 5 hits, 5 earned runs, for an ERA of, I believe, about 350 or 375. Really good stuff from Hayden Wesneski, Luke. He's given the Astros, like Hunter Brown, an opportunity to win every time out.
Yeah, and I like his profile, I guess I'll call it. I like his potential. And I like the move of moving him into the starting rotation. It's sort of similar to the New York Mets went out and got Clay Holmes this offseason, and he was the Yankees closer, and the Mets turned him into a starter, and some people were like, why are you doing that? He's been a reliever, but...
Because he couldn't close last year.
Oh, that, yeah,
he
that
was
too.
Ass.
Yeah. It's like, you'd be more valuable as a starter than a middle reliever. So, but the idea for the Mets, we'll see if it works out, is because he has such a large pitch arsenal that you're kind of wasting him in the bullpen. He can go through a lineup 2 or 3 times or give you 6 innings because he's more than just a fastball pitcher. And so anyways, point being, to bring it back to the Astros, is I see the same thing with Wisniewski, who has a 6-pitch arsenal. And that was kind of the idea on him this offseason, where people were saying, like, this guy's better suited as a starter. Instead of just wasting him for an inning in the bullpen here or there, he has so many pitches to mix it up. He can face guys over the course of innings or go through a lineup twice. And then you factor in just the Astros' track record of developing starters or bringing guys in and getting the most out of them. So that was quietly one of the part of the deal everyone focused on, like, hometown kid, feel-good story. But I think he could be a pretty valuable part of this rotation. He's not going to be a Cy Young, but I think he can be a reliable back-end starter through the course of the season.
You know, the question ultimately is how sustainable is it? And amongst the other candidates, I've got Jose Altuve in left field, Hunter Brown's start to the season. You know, which of all of those, from Wisniewski to Brown to Altuve to Cam Smith, you know, is most sustainable? I would say not from a performance standpoint, but Hayden Wesneski, like, maybe has, you know, one of the bigger question marks to me because of the versatility that the Astros have with their pitchers. Wesneski, bullpen guy, you know, turned starter now. Ryan Gusto, bullpen guy. They've turned starter now. Ronel Blanco, bullpen guy. He's a starter and has been, you know, for the Astros. But, you know, Lance McCullers could throw a wrench into that. And, you know, maybe this is closer to months, unfortunately, instead of weeks down the road. But if Luis Garcia can come back healthy, there's another starter. And so the Astros have options with guys that they are currently entrusting to start for them that maybe they are able to put into the bullpen and really create a dangerous, not just rotation, but bullpen against the opposition this year.
That's a good point, because I think the bullpen's going to need help. At the start of the season, I was saying, you know, the bullpen was the biggest concern for me, but I felt good about the rotation because of the depth. Some of these injuries have certainly impacted things here early on, but it is a long season. You get some of these arms back. I think they have a handful of options in that rotation. And to your point, if that bumps some guys to the bullpen, then it really strengthens the entire pitching staff, because to me, that bullpen in the offseason so far, 2 weeks into the season, that's the biggest concern for me.
713-572-4610. If you'd like to give us a shout, phone lines are open. You can also text the show, the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Very active as well. We'll get to some of your reaction. We'll continue with a little Astro convo. Are the Astros more interesting now? Luke has some thoughts on that. We will discuss next. It's The Drive, Sports Radio 610.
Really, really happy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner out. Sean Bajani, Luke Morrow in with our guy T. Mill. We'll get to Rockets coming up next segment. They are back in action tonight. Man, just a couple of games to go, and then the extra season will begin, and it will begin with your Rockets as a number two seed. Who the heck would have thought about that preseason? Just hoping to get in and not as just a play-in.
Let's go, Rockets.
But we'll get to them here next segment at the top of the hour. 713-572-4610. 572-4610. You can call or text the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Luke, you had a question before the show asking if the Astros are more interesting now. And I want to know why you're asking that question, what your reasoning behind that is. But I'm just going to go and tell you right off the bat that a texter from the 346 ain't feeling it, no matter how you couch this, I think. And this is really in response to last segment when I played the Dana Brown audio. He says, Dana Brown, no, we have a problem here in Houston. He didn't do anything about keeping Kyle Tucker here, and look what he's doing right now. That was a major mistake. I don't want to hear about all the prospects and all that kind of stuff. They messed up by letting Kyle Tucker go.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
I mean, I would say it's good to get something for him, because I don't know if they were going to re-sign him or have him come back. And they got a pretty good package for him, potentially, for the next few years, as opposed to just, you know, letting him walk a year from now. I think it's more of an ownership thing, though. I think Dana Brown did the best with what he had to operate with. I think it comes down from the ownership of, like, yeah, we don't want to sign this guy to a long-term contract. We don't want to commit that money. So Dana Brown figures, well, I better get as much for him as I can before, you know, just wasting a year and letting him walk away.
It was a long play, I think, for the Astros. Not really for the Astros, but for Kyle Tucker. You know, I think a very fair assertion, at least right now, for Kyle Tucker, as he is without currently a long-term contract. That's going to change between now and the start of next season, I would presume. And the question becomes for Kyle Tucker is, what's it going to look like? Because a dude that at one point in time did not look at all like he was going to be long for Toronto and Vlad Guerrero Jr. signs a 14-year, $500 million deal to stay there. And the immediate question is, well, if Vlad Jr., who's a couple of years younger than Kyle Tucker and obviously very productive, in fact, more productive than Kyle Tucker has been, which is not a slight to Tuck, but what's Tuck going to be looking at? He's a couple of years older, but he's probably not going to get a 14-year deal, but maybe, geez, 10?
Tuck's time is coming.
To 12? And at one point in time, in the last 6 months, dude, a $300 million contract was kind of like, whoa, can we pump the brakes a little bit on that for Kyle Tucker? And then it became four. And now the ceiling is at five.
Yeah.
To me, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is to Kyle Tucker's future contract as Max Fried is to Framber Valdez's future contract. Fried just got paid this past offseason, like 8 years, $218 million. And he's had arm issues to this point in his career. Framber, knock on wood, has not. Yeah, a little older. 31, going to be 32, I believe, going into the offseason is Framber, but that dude's going to get paid. Probably more than Max Fried.
Yeah, that one's interesting. He's going to get paid. I don't know how it compared to Fried. Both guys are going to get paid. Kyle Tucker's going to get a huge contract to what you were alluding to, and I think that's why you have to try to move him and get what you can. And by the way, for the Cubs, they better sign him to that contract, because otherwise, what were you doing for just a year of his services? It's kind of like the Yankees with Juan Soto last year. They did that trade just to have the opportunity to be the first at the table to negotiate with them, and then didn't sign Juan Soto. He went to their crosstown quote-unquote rivals, and they gave up a bunch of prospects for him. Same with the Cubs. Like, if you don't sign Kyle Tucker, what'd you give up Cam Smith for 1 year of Kyle Tucker, when the Cubs right now, they're not expected to win the World Series or compete for the NL this season?
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story. But I think that goes into my original question of the Astros being more interesting, is seeing how these things play out. And it kind of started ruminating in my mind when I heard earlier this week, I think it was on In the Loop, with Reggie and John talking about like not having fun watching this Astros team. And I get that because, you know, they're losing more than they're winning right now. Yesterday was not fun. So maybe the timing of bringing this up isn't great after watching that team yesterday. But I would say no question. I think this is the more interesting version of the Astros, I would say, that in a number of years. Like during this great run of the last almost close to a decade. Because it's interesting to see how things are going to play out. I would almost compare it to... I have a lot of friends who are Patriots fans. And I think the Patriots, like post-Tom Brady, became a lot more interesting. Because with Brady and Belichick, you knew what you were going to get. They're going to win 13 games. They're going to win the division. They're going to play a certain style. They're going to go to the playoffs. And it's fun to win. Winning's the best part about sports. We all want to see our teams win, and we enjoy that. So, ideally, you want the Astros to also win this year. I get that. But I think they're more interesting now to see how Cam Smith develops, to see Altuve in left field, if that works or how long it works for, to see if Lance McCullers comes back at some point and can bring something to the table for this team, to see what you get out of Wisniewski in the starting rotation or bullpen, whatever. Whatever's going to happen with these relievers. Is Paredes going to be some sort of third baseman of the future that can belt 30 homers because he's playing half of his games in Houston? And then also seeing the manager, where we talked about this a little bit yesterday, which also led to this question, where I think Joe Espada has to do more managing now than the previous two managers.
So I'm trying to do the best I can.
Yeah.
He has to, you know, he has to massage this roster to
try
to get...
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's a really good point, but, I mean, hell, did your friends who are Patriots fans, in your analogy, like, were they interested when they were winning 3 games, 4 games, 5 games in a season, you know, post-Tom Brady? Like, it might have been... It was interesting, intriguing, like, maybe in the months following that, like, hey, what are these guys going to do post... Tom Brady, and then now obviously post Belichick. And the reason why I'm asking that is because they, to me, and maybe there's bias here, but I think we're asking the question to people that do have the bias, that should have the bias, that are Astro fans, that follow this team, that live and die with them literally on a day in and day out basis during the regular season, is that do you find this team more interesting now? To me, it's a no, because I was always interested. To me, it's interesting when you're contending legitimately and favored, and then you go out and do it. Get to an ALCS every single year, 7 straight years. Like, I understand the question. Now, hey, it's not served up on a silver platter for you. It's not maybe the expected thing for you. You look at the Yankees, or you're looking at a Rangers resurgence, or you're looking to see what can happen in the AL Central. Is it going to be Cleveland? Is it going to be Detroit? You know, what have you. Whereas, hey, the Astros are trying something different. You know, the nucleus has been severely altered, that we've been very used to for the better part of a decade here. Now, yeah, let's see if they can continue to keep this window open with some of the elder statesmen, so to speak, and some of the new guys and younger guys. I get that. It's always fear of the unknown. In sports, we hold on to that hope in years and in off seasons that we have no business holding on to that hope for. Whereas our vision is blurred sometimes, where we should see an obvious rebuild, an obvious retool, an obvious teardown even at times. And we think, boy, yeah, they could still do it because XYZ players got a really solid track record. And I don't know that a lot of people believe in that right now, at least not given the outcomes in the first 12 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I just think it's too early to make or to change your opinion on it. However you felt in the offseason about individual players, even the team, the roster itself, I think you should still feel that way today. And I think when you look at the Astros, I do think they're more interesting than, say, 2 years ago, where you had all that stuff figured out, where you're trying to figure some things out. And now, of course, winning cures all. And like I said, it's not, if the Astros lose 85 games this year, it's not going to be a very fun season, of course. It hasn't been fun for the Angels fans in recent years.
Text line said that. Winning trumps interesting.
That's
fair.
I won't disagree. Yeah. Absolutely. But let's assume, you know, they were expected to win 86 games in the eyes of Vegas this offseason, right? Like, let's assume they do meet their expectations, or they are a wild card team at least, or they make the playoffs and they do it by piecing this new as you said, like this new nucleus together, this new group, and you see what you have with your new third baseman and your prospects that came up and your Hall of Famer out in left field. I think there's a lot more storylines to this team. I think there's a lot more, obviously, to figure out. And I think that makes it more interesting than just like 2 years ago where, oh, hopefully Bregman's slow April, you know, ends before we get to May, something along those lines, where you had all that stuff figured out. There wasn't a lot of interest outside of actually winning the games. I think there's a lot more storylines with this roster for not only this year, but also, you know, beyond into the future for this franchise.
713-572-4610. What do you guys think? You can call or text in regards to that. I don't really disagree. Look, I'm going to live and die with this team no matter what. Went through those very lean years in the early 2010s when you couldn't even watch them on TV hardly or at all for the first year or two that, you know, Jim Crane took over. But yes, it's interesting. And I've come around to the business of sports more so here in recent years. And look, I'm 42. It took me a long time, but I always wanted my teams to stay together, you know, for better or worse. And if you were an Astro, a Texan, or a Rocket, especially, I don't care about you getting up in age. I don't care about your game sliding a little bit. Like, let's add and develop some other pieces to put around you, not, you know, see if we can get out underneath of this contract before it's too late kind of a thing. I never thought about it as in a business sense. And I think you have to, obviously, in this day, in sports culture, in business culture, you have to do that. And those are the decisions that maybe are easy for the organizations to make, but very difficult and almost impossible at times for fans to accept and swallow. And I think losing Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, certainly one of those. But I said this to PC the other day, dude. To me, this is a rarity. In an offseason in which you can lose Justin Verlander, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, and it's their decisions to do so. We know they tried, you know, to retain Alex Bregman to a degree. They even offered him a record deal under the Jim Crane era, maybe as Astros record deal, 6 years in terms of length. They made their decision. Ultimately, it's a rarity that you can still go into a season and be thought of as a competitor within the American League after losing so many great players, franchise icons, even Verlander and Bregman, and maybe a future one in Kyle Tucker. I think that's impressive. And so it's interesting in that point of view to see if the Astros can actually do that at season's end. We'll get back to a little more Astro convo later on. He's Luke Morrow, Sean Bajani, Tyler Milner. It's The Drive in for Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley. Coming up next, the Rockets. Are they the most disrespected two seed that we've ever seen? We'll discuss next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.